Meeting to order. I think we should start with introducing ourselves because we're a new committee and a lot of our programs are here presenting tonight that everybody's not familiar with. So we can start over here.
Sure. I'm Margie Menard, the director of the Kingston Library, and I'm here on behalf of the
Mary Warrior, legislator from Saugerties.
Craig Lopez, legislator, District 14, Chocolate Morrison.
Hi, I'm Melanie Forsham. I'm here on behalf of the Cornell Water Protection. I'm the 40th Board over here. I'm here on behalf of the Cornell Water
Protection. I'm Melanie Jair. I'm from Boulder Point Specialized. And I'm going to take a track.
All right.
And get to introduce ourselves.
Chelsea.
Exactly.
Can everyone speak up just a little bit? I'm hearing.
Okay. I'm Danielle Lehman. I'm the program assistant for the Criminal Justice and Human Services here, and I'll be taking minutes.
So, do we have a motion to approve the minutes from January 20th?
Yeah, one second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great. So, we're going to take things just a little bit out of order, and we're going to have Dr. Roberts present first.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this. Generally, I'd like to come up with the pretty much objective focus here, our finances and our needs. And what I want to do in a second is show you something that I think is going to be important as we move forward through the year. We've been working diligently to try to be as transparent as possible. So we've been very fortunate, and it just came to fruition that we now have a dashboard that will be available to finances, enrollment, applications, demographics of our students. And I'll give you a quick preview of what's up there in a second. But just the short of it is we live in regional enrollment. That's our lifeline. And you can see a resolution that we're going to ask for support that we're asking the state to increase base aid by $285. Historically, over the years, it hasn't been at that level since 2008. They forwarded the year, still a long way from where the 285 increase basically really allowed us with short open up enrollment because it was really something because based on the number of enrollment comes the tuition and the state aid. So when you lose your enrollment, you lose your ability to perform services for your students. One mission that I had when I came was to try to get students to be more successful because we have probably a 40% that means 30% of our students have a first year are not. So we need to give them more services. The challenge is giving them more services, less employment, less dollars. We're looking for just a bump to try to help us bring in some more students. Back to the enrollment. End of January, we talked about the shortage that we had this spring. We were short about 36 which hurts a lot. Really hurts. So we did fight the belt. We closed a lot of the spending that we had. Any new positions have to go through. We have the President's Cabinet, the analyzer, the individual health, success, support, and not put it out. The end of January, projection coming in for the spring was not looking that much better. At the end of the spring semester registration, we were down 35 FTE. But I'm here with good news. We projected 75 FTE for our collegiate program, which is our high school program. It came in yesterday at 105. So we couldn't be any happier. So instead of being 35 FTE, we were 9. So we're waiting for the proposal on this campus within the deadline. taking a serious knowledge of the importance of giving these. Our students at the high school level have increased almost 40% of our enrollment comes from that area. That's good, because that gives them a head start. So when they get here, they can finish the year. So we're looking forward to continuing that. So that's working out well. Now let me quickly show you what our dashboard will look like. Now this is going to be open to the entire college community, and all the members of the legislative committee will have access to it. It's on a daily basis. It will show you the number of enrollment we have. It shows the FTE, it shows the headcount, and it changes on a daily basis. We even have finances on there that you can look and see if our budget really is hitting close to expectations. And that's what the middle one is. And you can see that, you know, we are hitting the green marks, so we're happy with that. Demographics are on the side. The bottom part that you really can't see is that's more of an indicator of things to come. That's how many students have applied, and then how many return to actual applications, and how many return to registration. So that's a daily barometer to tell how we're doing. So, and that's going to be on a daily basis. Again, I'll provide all that information to anyone who would want to look at that. Our Board of Trustees asked for that in September. We finally get the point that this is in a live version that's coming forward. So we're excited that finally has happened for us. Jen, they don't talk well on that, by the way. That wasn't me that did that. Great administrative assistant. So with that, with enrollment, if there's any other questions on
Greg has a question. That 105 FTE now, is that the number of people who have just signed up, or is that how many of those have yet to pay, and what's usually the difference?
Now 105 are paid, registered, and paid last year.
Okay.
That's done. That's not a projection, and as if that's a lot of times when people refer to that don't pay,
sure.
These are already paid. Okay. Paid, they're being paid. But yeah, it's probably about 5%. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, is there most of them take maybe one or two courses?
Generally, they take at least two. And they're not full-time, but full-time equivalent is 12 credits. You can see how many students would actually have to be enrolled to get 105, which is good because we're reaching out. One of our goals is to try to get to the parts of the county that traditionally would go
well. Well, that's great because then you're capturing high school students and you're giving them an incentive to even come here. In other words, that's the idea here. So coastal helps that. Not only does it help them, it helps them even no matter where they go. My daughter did that. She was a thing, and I think she had maybe 20 more credits as she went.
And I tell the story. Oh, I have two daughters just recently. They both graduated from college 2 years ago. But they completed 2 years of college before they graduated from high school, which I gave them the college degree, and the next 2 weeks later, the mother gave them the high school diploma. So it can be done. That's my goal. Save the parents that kind of money. It's a wonderful thing to be so important. We are one of the top in the country, the top 100 affordability. We're doing what the least expensive in New York State. And just add that with the scholarship and everything else we do, it's absolutely silly. And we're working on something called an early PAL. If that happens, if we've applied for some federal money that they will give high school students the ability to get federal money to pay for college. So as many as that are out there taking classes, the parents are still paying part of the tuition. This way to pay for all the tuition and the books and transportation to get it. So we're really keeping our fingers crossed for that. That'd be great. There's some other resolutions on there too that absolutely
yeah.
Our water moving forward and that
Michael, did you have a question?
Not a question, I just wanted to say, family runs a project at Kingston High School called the Student Success Center. And its target is to help kids fill out applications and financial aid. And so I think, from the feedback of my staff, the ability to be able to afford the first 2 years of college is making college real for a lot of young people in South Kingston that would never have been able to even consider it before. It's a wonderful gift for the community.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Did you have anything else, or would you like us to move your resolution? Okay, we have resolution 156, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 NRCRR, Part 617, State Environmental Quality Review Act, SECRA, by the Ulster County Legislature for the extension of a public water supply line to the SUNY Ulster campus, Capital Project 469, SUNY Ulster. Do we have a
motion?
Second? Do you have any discussion?
It's long overdue.
We've been waiting for this for a long time.
I don't know how many years now. I think maybe 20, is it? I'm not sure.
We can see it.
We'll take a vote. All in favor?
It's at the end of the tunnel.
Aye.
And it's not a train coming.
Passed unanimously. Okay, we have resolution 157, authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an easement agreement with the Wakayamka Retreat, originally allowing the county as a local sponsor for Ulster County Community College access to privately owned real property in the town of Marbletown for purposes of running a water line through. Thank you. Retreat, regularly real estate, real property, and authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to tender payment for such easement.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? No? All right. All in favor? Okay. Unanimous.
And the last one is
okay, just for discussion. Oh, and okay, you were to. Okay, second?
Yes, second.
Any discussion for the 285? For the,
We don't have the resolution.
We don't have the resolution.
Oh, okay.
Yet, but we're just moving it, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Yeah. You just have to make sure that that one gets in. Otherwise, they can tell you when they talk to Nikki or Ned or somebody tomorrow. Just make sure that, you know, it'll go in for the April.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
You supported
it.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And now Cornell Cooperative. We have Maggie Rosen.
Hi, everybody. So I'm here to just a little bit about the contribution that we're asking for. We're asking level funded at $350,000 a year. That's $256,000 of program and $83,000 of housing. We run on about a $3.5 million a year budget, so it might seem like this is a small contribution, but I really am here to tell you that that core funding is really so incredibly essential to our work. We have done so much to grow the program over the last 2 years, and we have staff that are very committed to diversifying our funding streams, etc. For those of you who aren't aware of the land grant system, historically, when we first started, we were a third county funded, a third state funded, and a third federally funded. So that has since changed immensely. We usually get about $8,000 to $10,000 of our $3.5 million budget from federal. The state does match the money that we ask for from the county. Not match, but I'm sorry. There's some formula that's a little bit above my head. I'm not a math mind. But there is a sort of, the more we get from the county, the more the state is willing to give us in terms of contributions. And a few years back, we went from having county supported housing, which was wonderful, to finding a place and having that. So we are still digging a little bit out of the hole in terms of having that happen. It happened rather quickly, so we weren't able to get all the grants that we needed at that time. And we've since been writing in housing expenses and all kinds of wonderful things. But I really am here to say that money is so essential. And one of the things that I can speak most clearly about, are you guys familiar with Cornell Law Group? So we've had four different program areas: Ag, Natural Resources, 4-H, and Healthy Families, which is kind of a consortium of many different smaller programs. You guys are
We have a meeting next month.
Right,
yeah.
So I won't spend too much time on that. We'll hear more there. But I did want to just, I'm kind of crunching some numbers myself just to share with you all so that you really understand the value of your contribution. And the place I can do that most readily is 4-H, which is my program area. So I have this for you guys. Basically, when I'm looking at numbers, so out of that $266,000, about $77,000. It depends on the year, but about $77,000 comes to 4-H. As a program leader, I've worked really hard. We used to be almost 100% county funded. I've gotten us about half of the county dollars, so I've done a pretty good job of getting us off of county dollars completely. But the real monetary value of our program is actually $323,000. Because that includes all the volunteer hours, and that's how we serve the 600 kids that we serve regularly every year through a variety of wonderful programs. I'll say the 4-H Club program is not grant fundable, as much as I try. Unfortunately, you know, grant boards are looking for a new, sexy program to fund. So, as much as the wonderful things that we do in our 4-H Club program, there are not many grant boards that are out there that are willing to give us any money to run a program that's been around for 100 years. So. That money is really essential to the club program. A lot of things we also associate with 4-H, such as the county fair, our public speaking program, agricultural and literacy program. I have over 1,000 kids that we're scheduled to read to next week in all kinds of kindergarten to four classrooms through an army of wonderful volunteers. So, you know, just next week we'll be in 45 different classrooms throughout Ulster County, almost all volunteer driven. So, we do wonderful work. I'm going to leave this with you guys. Basically, this is a picture of our Tech Wizards Mentoring Program, which is a grant-funded program that we've been able to bring in. This is that science. I wish the president was still here. We run a number of wonderful programs here, including our Vet Science Program. That ends up being a feeder for SUNY Ulster to their Vet Tech Program, which is, I think, a really great collaboration. And we also, our public presentations program, our public speaking program will be held here this Saturday. So I think we're the only program that I know that's doing a lot of public speaking skills, giving them practice, et cetera. And then also, we have over 24,000 hours that they spent last year on 4-H projects. So that's 2.5 years, probably, of work that was spent on 4-H projects last year. It's also down here, so some of the skills they learned. So I'm going to leave these with you guys and see if there are any questions about our overall program. I'm also going to leave you with my card, but again, we'll be seeing you all next month.
Well, I'd like to compliment Cornell Cooperative. I think they do a great job. I mean, the idea that that money that we give them is well spent. I mean, you leverage money from other places because of that money. So that $300,000 turns into $3 million that is spent in Ulster County, and you have a number, I'm not sure how many total employees you have, but you're actually one of the best economic development engines we have. So, I mean, that's reality. I mean, you're employing a lot of people through those grants that you get, and I know you're very diligent in getting those grants to keep these people working, and the grants are helping farmers and helping kids and so on and so forth. So I'd like to move the resolution for their that contract.
And I'd just like to say before we have a second that a lot of your funding is earmarked for certain things you can't use for anything else. You need funding that is going to cover the holes in the whole right picture. So
any indirect costs, I mean, you know, our board has requested interactive at least 25% on any new grant we're writing. The reality being most grants will give you 10 to 12%. So you're kind of eating that other 12, 13%. of indirect that we really do need to run our program and that people are not funding. So, yes, thank you. Yeah. That's great.
And you make really good projects.
Absolutely.
And they don't use styrofoam.
We don't. Far too many of them.
And good news is Sam's Club has changed over. They have no styrofoam. You couldn't buy styrofoam there if you wanted to.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy. So do we have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry to pick up my sister, but I
will be called. No problem. Thank you. Let's see, next, next we have CASA with Tammy Greer.
Hi, Tammy Greer from CASA. For those of you who don't know, I was a report appointed special advocates for children, and we are volunteer-driven, one full-time staff, one part-time staff, and at any given time, I have about 25 to 40 community volunteers. They get appointed by the family court judges to foster children that come on their docket under abuse and neglect, and then we advocate for their well-being. The goal is to get them through the system faster, spend them time in foster care, and be in a safe and permanent home as quickly as possible. Right now, I have about 28 volunteers, 5 non-advocates. They serve other roles and help us out because we're pretty small. I wear a lot of hats. I enjoy most of them. Right now, I am, well, we are advocating for 51 children in the system. I couldn't get staff. I tried to get staff from DSS for 2016, but for 2014, out of 166 kids placed in foster care, we advocated for 73. So I think our numbers are going down because children are going through faster, and there's also a lot of focus on kitchen placement, which is great. The county, the state, everyone seems to be really looking at kinship. And then what we can come in is help find the kids, which is cost effective. If you're not going out and placing children in foster care and starting this bigger ball rolling, you can find a ready, willing, capable relative. It really, it cuts down on trauma, it cuts down on money, enough. You know, those services are necessary, but sometimes if you can help ease that, it not only eases the burden on all of us, but it can ease the burden on the child.
I've been a long time advocate for CASA, and as a result, it is actually, I cannot think of any program anywhere, and no offense to anyone, but it is probably the most cost-effective program you can have. I mean, they save one kid from going into placement, and that will save us over $100,000, and we're only giving them $36,000. So all you have to do is one a year. So as we were talking before, it's a conservative approach to ensure that these kids are taken care of, and we're saving money at the same time. So
yeah,
I think we need a resolution for the contract.
I just wanted to ask one question. What's the average age and what the demographics?
Well, I can tell you right now, because I just been telling them, I have 14, 0 to 4, 17 children, 5 to 9, 10, 10 to 14, 16, 15 to 17, and 18 to 21. They can see foster filter 21 is 4. So one of the big pushes, just so you know, you're helping fund this, is that we're really looking at the mentoring portion and doing a lot of research on that and building grants on that, because those 12 to 21 year olds need more. And I'm sure other people are seeing that too. That group is a group that are hard enough to grapple up, but there's great services and not everybody knows about each other. So I've been doing my best to really get to know other agencies. Focus on these kids. When I send my volunteers, I'm like, find out what they need. They're old enough to speak for themselves. What are their wants and needs? We don't have to always agree with them. We can get it in a report and get it to a judge, or we can help be their voice. and get them where they need to be. Like, some children don't even know that there's scholarships in college. You know, we've been building this bio. Like, I was so impressed with the president speaking about the college, because that's where we have these kids to go. We don't want them to age out and be back in another system. We want them in school. We want them to get a job. We want them to get their social security card. And they're like, so, you know, we don't want anybody to fall through the cracks. We want them to be productive members in society and only
which saves us even more money in the long run.
And those that don't know about the cost of volunteers, these people are basically professionals that have worked, and they volunteer their time. And I think is the one person still there that used to run the foster care program in Orange County, California?
Yes, she's the president of our board now, and I have
anybody knows Orange County, California, that foster care, that unit that she ran employed more people than probably the four social services that they needed, four counties employees, just foster care in Orange County, California. Extremely large counties.
She's our board president. Her husband's a volunteer. I have two actually retired people from the UN of all places. They did not know each other and randomly came to me. One last year, what district did you know? And they both may have the same first name. Believe it or not, you know, you can't write this stuff. And so I introduced them. You know, I just trained. She's on her first case. NYPD Special Victims Unit for Children, Retiree, and Employees. I get people say, like, how do you get your volunteers? And I don't know. I try my best to get great volunteers, but they seem to come to me and they seem to find me. And, you know, you don't have to have some grandiose job, but I get people with really good skills who come to me and say, I want to use the skills that I use over here. Make a difference over here. So you can think about the salary that some of these people may have made, and they're just doing this out of the goodness of their own heart. Like the NYPD woman, she's also volunteering it. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I moved it.
No, second.
Any other discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm going to leave my card. I'll leave my
insurance. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
This is Art McHudson with Linda Marston.
Apply for, for instance, the fiscal funding. They were not
perhaps consider doing 30% of the fund as a program support and then 70% as a pass-through. And I went through our Schedule A to make sure that everything was written out properly and that you can, I don't know if you look at that, but we'll continue to do all of the work we do to make sure that we work with candidates that want to look right out.
So that as a result, when I was the chairman, I gave the charge. That was the charge. You get these things, so we have it done in a manner that it is handed out evenly and equally, and the art people are doing it. And they did a great job working through that, and I was very impressed with the final product. So I will move this.
I'll second.
Now, the 70% would be. I know the original intent was the idea for program building.
Right.
Yeah, so that she's pointing out that we're going to need 30% possibly for the repeat funding.
Right. That's, we took that pot of money and we envisioned it as being 70% for the capacity building. And capacity building has been a lot of different things, from very small capital projects to get higher. And then the 30% would be for programming, again, something like, you know, the studio tours or the dance festival coming up, and things like that, something where they kind of like, they have
it. Now, which one is that? The one that...
Ulster County Festival of Dance. They were in
They do the ballet, the Ulster Ballet or something, that's that right?
Right. There's a lot of different dance groups.
Right, right. So I went to one or two of those. The only thing I ask is that when you're doing that is that currency that it's not done in a manner that, you know, that's going to be every year in the same group, or you know, do this for like 10 years in a row. I mean, you know, it's going to be...
President, is pretty clear about it being about helping advance and capacity.
revenue market to grow.
I can certainly trust what you are doing. I think you're doing a great job, and I'm really happy that it's been so successful.
I'll carry on the discussion. I'll let you put it in the we're getting ready to launch to kick off March 18th.
Thank you. And it was so, we have to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much. Michael Berg, family with that.
Reporting on a program that provides supervised visitation authorized by the family court for non-CPS situations. Child Protective Services supervises child protective supervised visitation where one of the parents or both of the parents are involved in child protective services. These are the rest. And for those of you that were on the committee last year, we talked about the fact that there had been a third family court judge authorized. So now it is not surprising to see that we had 50% more services as a result. And so as you can see from the numbers that were presented, we're providing a lot of services.
The difference between the sessions arranged and held, like people that canceled or
most often it's the custodial parent, many of whom are not supportive of this process, and so they often cancel. And it's always, I mean, we're doing this for a real long time, and that percentage has been consistent. It's sad in a way because you want the child to have contact with both parents.
So that ultimately is.
The parent is out of your child's life for a long time, or there's been a harsh separation. These supervisors are very important. And our staff is able to also give feedback to the parents with some information about proper parenting age, appropriate stages of development, those kinds of things. We find that that's valuable to parents.
Connected all these resolution centers, parenting part.
We tell people about other resources that are available, although I think that that's more the function of the family court.
Yeah.
We do a lot of different things, but in this one program, our mission is to watch and report back on everything we observe, both as it relates to the custodial parents' treatment of the child when they bring the child and pick the child up, and the relationship that's evident with the non-custodial parent. Is the child comfortable? Does the child relate to the parent? Yeah, after a short while, do they get into it? How comfortable is the parent in interacting with their child? How much knowledge do they have of early childhood development as is demonstrated by the way that they interact with the child? These are all observations that are made. And as you can see, we get a substantial number of reports back to the judges. We try to give more. I mean, if you just do quickly to the family, we have 76 families that we help for. So we're doing about, on average, slightly less than 7 sessions per family. That's a lot.
And for some families.
First of all, a lot of times the parents haven't seen the non-custodial parent has to be seeing the child. It's very special to bring that parent back into the child's life. So we really try to respond to the parents, to their needs. And if the custodial parent is willing, we'll schedule a number of visits.
And sometimes the court will have those visitations in place of other, you know, while they're going through the process.
Well, the court is looking for an evaluation of whether it's appropriate to authorize that there is going to be ongoing visitation. That's what this is really about. The court has been asked by your general by non-custodial parent to be given permission to regularly see their children. And it's really important. I think that makes a big difference in the children's lives.
Well, it's huge. I mean, it's hard for the parents sometimes, but really for the good of the kids, it's really huge that, you know.
And generally, it's not because of the relationship between the non-custodial parent and the child.
Right.
It's because of issues in the separation.
With the parents.
Occasionally, when the person comes out of jail, you want to make sure that we're still, that the child's
there's safety issues, yeah.
But generally, it's conflicts between them. And that's why a lot of the visitations that are arranged, which is work, forward.
Right.
I'll move it.
Second?
Go ahead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, of course. We appreciate your ability to do this. You know, it's one of the ways that we do it.
Well, it's important. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we'll let the resolution in the morning, so we can vote on that.
That's great. I thank all of you for supporting that program. You know, just as an observation, the program is a pilot program run by DCJS, Department of Criminal Justice Service. And we were shocked at how successful the program was. But we recognized that the program was going to disappear because it was a pilot. And so the fact that the county is recognizing how important the work is and that it should be completed is huge to us. We really were surprised that you showed so much support, and we really appreciate it. And I want to say that program is running throughout the county. We have people stationed in Ellenville who also have Kingston providing that service. And it just makes it
right. And if you
don't think about 15 more people to be part of the juvenile county. So the program is ongoing.
You know how that program works. Which one? The 180 program?
The 180 is a program where 7 to 15 year olds that have committed a misdemeanor or a felony that are diverted from the family court to us. We train community leaders to meet with the young people. They sit with the young person and say, okay, what did you do? Ask them in significant detail. Who did you hurt? How did you hurt your family? How did you hurt yourself? How did you hurt the person that you had this interaction with? And then the board and the youth develop a plan to make it right. It takes generally 2 to 3 months. Our staff person works with the child to make it right. And one of the wonderful things about the program is that when the young person comes into places like this, and when they come back, they're like, they've done it. They've made it right. They feel good about themselves. And in the year and a half we ran the program, we had 69 kids complete the program and 3 re-violated. And
we
can't get better than that.
No.
I'm not saying that they may not later on. I mean, some of them were at the end of the program, but we were very proud of the program. And it seems to have really worked.
Okay.
You never know.
We've
got to choose the model that we could do the work with. And we choose this juvenile accountability board because it was being done in Albany. And it's been a wonderful model. And it's really involved community people with the children, which is just totally special.
Yeah, the group that got me involved in was the human rights thing. They called me in to talk to them about the program, and the program was going to go on. So, that's how I got involved.
Well, the book is running for probation, and the probation leader that was supervising the program, unbeknownst to us, went to the Human Rights Commission to report on it. And then that's what.
I'm trying to think of her name, Trish.
Trish Sina.
Yeah.
She's very good
is 2,000.
Jamiria is.
Yeah, I know from way around the way back. I mean, I know before I was an author in politics major. And, you know, so you get, he advocated for that probation. He saw the program and went to him, got the human rights people to say, okay, this is an issue because, and you can see these hits. So the human rights group worked on, my brother's on the human rights, so I have no choice about it.
I was trying to figure out if I could get half a quarter of the money from the county penitentiary, 75, no, I can't. You know, it just it's too good a program to not have. And I want to say that one of the things about parole and the probation we are talking about is giving us harder kids, giving us a little tougher kids. Let's see how far we can be successful with this. Because
the key with that program is you're getting them young enough. A lot of them are, you know, 7 to 15. I think they're 14 and 15. I don't want to say that they're a worthless cause, because if they are not, that's not true. But that's
really
difficult to turn around. And, you know, they're very, where you're going to get 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you can turn them around. They're a little easier to turn around.
Well, thank you. I just want to ask a question. Has this committee ever calculated the actual fiscal benefit? I know there's a fiscal effect, but the fiscal benefit of these programs, for instance, diverting people from reentry in the system, it would be very interesting if there were a way to do that.
Yeah.
Because it would demonstrate the community.
That one would be hard to evaluate because you have to have a long enough study to see what happens. If you wanted to evaluate where we save money, you could start with the homeless shelters.
Right.
How many people buy permanent housing? How many people go on public assistance? There's real big money there.
I think it would be worthwhile if you just interview each of the leaders of these programs to get, even if we're talking about the projections that are in the best case scenario versus the ones that are very concrete that we know about. For example, the arts groups that then generate more tourism and what that benefit is definitely versus potentially, I think it would be valuable for us to be able to report on.
Yeah. Well, that's something we can address.
Okay.
But right now, I think, thank you, Michael. I think we need to go to the library.
That's an admirable goal. Thank you very
much. Margie, it's your turn. Sorry. Thank you. We'll make a note of that. Okay. Great.
I also, that means we're hoping to have more statistics on other things libraries do besides just the databases. The annual reports for all that, so we're going to bring our programming statistics and
the libraries do reach everybody, job searching and, preparatory hours, literacy, and after school. I don't think there's any we don't reach.
Community uses the rooms you are in.
You have a list of the programs that you're on. The e-signs, what magazines do they have?
There's 94 right now that we started with, and it was through the system. Our community actually meeting at the next in March next week, so we're going to pick out other ones that we feel, and we're going to add children's magazines and probably some Spanish language magazines as well.
They run the gamut from popular reading magazines to economists, technology journals. And really, once we can get you in there exploring, the feedback that I get is people are thrilled and surprised by what they're finding for the special
magazine.
There's yoga that's doing that. So I don't want to drag it out, but for example, with this new app, someone could go through your system to get to these.
Right through the app, you pick your library, have your card around you, pick your library card number, and then you can go into one of the tabs, the link is for your resources, and from there you go into the machine or to OneDrive with the materials, ebooks, and notebooks, and also
extremely extensive, and speaking for myself, we have a really nice cooperative relationship with our colleagues here at City Hall and other universities and regions. It would be interesting to find out how our students at home, as well as community college, would be able to somehow connect that, but I don't know if you do I'm writing a grant, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of people in government or nonprofits. Writing a grant, they need access to academic data. So we might not have access to the colleges, and it would be interesting to see how that could connect. But I don't know if that's something we should do. I just mean as a member of the community and not just me.
Right.
Oh, yes.
It is a challenge. It is a challenge. And students
typically
have access, people like you
would be that are looking for that. Right. Or parents researching issues. I heard about some at the other day. For example, what's available in the medical field for their children to get for personal and find out from the university. And then we have these wonderful cooperative relationships with hospital library and colleagues.
I will move the resolution.
Okay. I could talk about it all day. I appreciate your time.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Would like to come back today and sort of
you took a note of that, so we'll put you on the agenda.
Thank you. Sorry, it's just the period with these groups.
So, looks like I'm going to be on the agenda.
Here, the best committee.
Is this the county one?
No, it is.
I know you don't want money. Okay. So I'll just go through. We have resolution number 118, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement for the maintenance of facilities for the Ulster Performing Arts Center in 2016. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay. We've got resolution 119, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Ulster County Community Action Committee for the 2016 appropriations.
Move it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. I just want to note, we didn't have anybody here, but we have someone temporarily. They're going to be replaced.
Yeah, well, the person that was there was let go because he was a difficult guy, I guess, to work with the other nonprofits, kind of family Woodstock. The one lady that ran the program at the Hodge Center didn't even want to be near him. So he may have been making the odd comments at times. And so
yeah.
They let him go and they kind of screwed up there. He was doing a lot of profit here to pay all type stuff without.
Well, maybe when things settle down, we can do another. So
Larry's back. The guy that used to be the director is back.
Okay.
He's running it as an intern right now.
All right, so we have resolution number 125, reappointing a legislature representative to the Ulster County Cooperative Extension Board.
I'll move that, and that has to be you.
Okay. So, any discussion? Do we have a second?
No.
I'm all in favor about that person they're putting on there.
I have to tell you,
Archie, sorry to get along.
That at the end of the year board meeting, you know, the end meeting, guy that they had been mentoring that grows his own grains and makes, now he grows his own grains, but originally he came here and they helped him hook up with farmers to grow the appropriate grains for him, and he makes whiskey.
And he makes what?
Whiskey.
He
just moved to New Falls.
And who is this? What's his name?
I don't know his name. No, I was just saying he's right in your district.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
And he's doing it old school, like, he did it.
Ugly Apple.
I think, what was the name of it?
That's a sexist cider.
No, it's not. I know what you're talking about.
Angry Orchard?
No.
Isn't that the new one with Sam Carpenter?
But he...
I think they're
he did such an interesting presentation, because you know sometimes the presentations...
What number are we on?
But we are on 126. 125.
Okay, sorry.
But it was really interesting because he did it old school, and old school equipment and everything, the mash that's left that isn't used for their product, they would feed to their pigs.
Right.
The pig farmers said that they would, you know, these pigs, it's not appropriate for the pigs. And he did a little test, and there are particular pigs that were, and he had some that were not. And there was a restaurant in Red Hook that had the meat on their menu. So it was successful in that way. So it was really interesting that he was really trying to keep it the way it was originally in this area, even going so far as using native wood to make the barrels.
Great.
Yes. I'll look it up and let you know. It was really, you know. And
we can get to talk to Lee and see if we can get him to come.
Yeah, because he was awesome. He brought samples. He did bring samples to our. I'll find out his name because it was really fascinating, and it was really encouraging that somebody was so it was so well thought out. So, and now he bought a farm in New Falls. He was in Asoba,
big thing,
moving over, and he's growing his own oats and things with barley or whatever he needs to.
I think I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember.
And he had a quirky name, and and he told us the story behind coming up with the name. And it was very interesting, but...
They had a day sleeping in Chattanooga, and he went to Chattanooga, they weren't allowed to make whiskey in Chattanooga, so they actually created this big movement to get the boat
to be able to make whiskey in Chattanooga, in the city of Chattanooga, because that used to be many, many years ago they made whiskey there. So it was a big movement there. It was crazy. Marching the streets and everything else, and be able to make whiskey.
Wow.
And now they do it. They make whiskey.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, now we're on Resolution 126, appointing and reappointing members to the Ulster County Community Action Committee Board of Directors, and that's Pete Warren, Carl Basilio, Kevin Roberts, and Chris Allen, and Alderman at Large, James Noble, Jr. Do we have a motion?
Yes, I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Or any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 151, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant application with required assurances for the Medicare Improvements for Patients and Providers Act with the New York State Office for the Aging.
I'll move it. I have a question. Okay. What's the social services? I think
I... Did it only go?
No.
What was the question?
Why didn't it go through social services?
For help. Or social media. This is for the Office of the Aging.
Oh, because the Office of the Aging is the one that reports this committee for some reason. That's the way it was set up.
Yeah. I was just wondering. Because often it'll go through two.
It'll go through more than one wherever it is. Yeah. We need a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, do we have any new business? And I have okay, so our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, April 11th at 5 p.m. at Cornell Cooperative Extension.
So that's the
Yes. Set it up so. Do you know where it is?
Check it to the bottom.
I've
worked with every group that we've funded so far.
Oh, good. So it gives you a nice advantage to for information.
I think you have the cards from the margin.
I have to.
You know where.
Thank you.
Yes.
Although you didn't.
Yeah,
have
to
have
it.
Oh, okay, good.
You put her in your data.
Give me there at 5.
Thank
you. That's always the night.
What time?
5 o'clock.
And we're always at 5, right? Yeah. And that forever. Yeah. Change the days around a bit here and there, but we're always at 5.
Okay. So there's nothing else. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yep. I make a motion to adjourn.
Yes, thank you. All in favor?
The privilege of
being on the second. Oh, thank you.